agency, the anchor holds. In spite of the storm. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've had some wonderful things happen, not only Sunday, but kept on going on into the week. And so we've had some people get delivered and rededicating their lives to the Lord and want to press on into getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, amen. We're thankful for that. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you here this evening. We're asking for your divine guidance through the scripture tonight, Lord, that you will come and break open the bread of life to us, Lord. Feed your people tonight, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hopefully, we'll have some testimony soon. Amen. Amen. I'd like to read from John chapter 4. Verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. You may be seated. There were many places that the Lord Jesus went. None of them were by chance. Every time he went somewhere, it was because there was somebody he was going to call out of that area. There was a thought, a redeemable thought he had, someone that was a redeemable person that he had to go by and call out. One time he, of course, we know was baptized by John the Baptist, and about a day after that, John saw him walking by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And when he did, there was two men that had followed John, and from that day they left John and began to follow Jesus. And one of those men was by the name of Andrew. And Andrew, we find out later, was Peter's brother. And so Andrew goes to Peter and tells Peter, "We have found the Messiah. We have found he who Moses in the law and the prophets did write of." And so then we find Jesus going down by the seashore. And when he gets down there, there's two ships that are in the dock, but the fishermen aren't on board the ships. And so he steps into one of the ships because the people pressed upon him, and he bids them to cast off a little from the shore, and it happened to be Peter's boat. And so Peter casts off from the shore, and Jesus begins to teach the people from Peter's ship. And when he's done with the teaching, Brother Branham says, Jesus never uses anything what he don't pay you back. And so he told Peter and them, he said, "Launch out into the deep and let down for the draught." Peter said, "We've toiled all night, and we haven't caught a thing. Nevertheless, at thy word." And I think about it that Peter really didn't know Jesus. Andrew had come and told him of him, but to really know him, Peter didn't know him. But there was something about this man, there was something about the words that he spoke that touched Peter. And so Peter said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll will launch out into the deep. And so the Bible says that they took in a drought of fish, so much so that their nets break. And as their nets begin to break, they called for help. And the sons of Zebedee, James and John, cast out their boat to come out and help them to gather it in. And, you know, once they got the fish gathered in and went into shore, well, Peter, of course, he said, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." And he said, "Don't fear." He said, "From now on, you're going to be catchers, fishers of men." And so Jesus didn't just by happen chance come by this particular boat. There was a reason he came by that boat. Now, there were many people that heard Jesus' voice that day, because it said the crowd kind of pressed against him. So there was many that heard Jesus. But there's only the ones that are mentioned is Peter, James, and John that from that day followed him. And so he went down there with the purpose to go after them. It didn't just happen. It wasn't just by coincidence. But Jesus went down there, and the whole reason he went down there to speak to all those people was so that Peter, James, and John could hear it. And so they followed him. Then he went into Galilee, and when he did, he came across Philip. And when he came across Philip, then he told Philip, said, "Follow me." And Philip, the Bible says, was of Bethesda. And so Philip then goes and finds Nathanael and sitting under a fig tree. And he says, "Come and see, we found the Christ." He said, "It's the son of Joseph, the carpenter, out of Nazareth." And Nathanael says, "What good could come out of Nazareth?" And he says, "Come and see." And so Nathanael gets up and goes and listen, friends, Philip didn't just go there because he was just moseying along and said, "Oh, by the way, I'll just say something to my buddy, Nathanael." No, it was meant for him to see him that day. It was meant for him to speak to him, because a little bit later he was going to meet Jesus. When he comes out to see Jesus, then Jesus sees him coming from afar and says, "Behold an Israelite in whom there's no guile." Nathanael said, "When did you know me?" And he said, "Before Philip called you under the fig tree, I saw you." And then Nathanael said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Because I said I saw you under a fig tree, you believed? You see, greater than this you're going to see, because you're going to see angels of God ascending and descending down upon the Son of God." Hallelujah. Greater than this you're going to see. I'll tell you what, friends, we've seen some great things, but greater than that we're going to see. Greater is yet to come. We know the story of how there was a Pharisee that bid Jesus to come to his house and to have a supper with him. And you know, when he got there, Jesus wasn't treated very well. He wasn't met at the door. No one washed his feet. No one gave him a kiss from the Pharisee Simon's house. He was treated pretty poorly. And just sitting over there, no one paid him any attention. You wonder, why did they even invite him? It must not have been for any good. There must have been some other intent for why they invited him. Their own motives. But the reason he got the invitation was because there was going to be a woman there. That's why, see, the Pharisee didn't even really know why he had him come down there. He didn't know that there was a purpose that God had in it. That there was going to be a woman down there that was going to see him, Jesus, sitting there that way. And she come up with the little alabaster box of oil. And she anointed him with the oil. And she began to weep. And her tears, with her tears, she washed his feet. And then began to dry them with her hair. Brother Branham said, when he was going over that story, he said, today there'd be some women that would have to stand on their head in order to dry his feet with their hair. And so she dried his feet with her hair. Do you know who that woman was? The Bible later tells us in John that it was Mary, the sister of Lazarus, that had come and anointed him with oil and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair of her head. But remember, they there in the Pharisee's house, they said, does he know what manner of woman this is? If he did, why, he wouldn't let her be having anything to do with him. Oh, he knew her all right. He knew her as a thought of God that needed to be redeemed. And so he says to Simon, says, Simon, I've got somewhat to say unto you. He said, you didn't greet me with a kiss. You didn't offer me a robe. You didn't wash my feet. He said, but this woman has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears and dry them with her hair since I've come in. He says, Simon, I've got something to tell you. He said, to ask you. He said, if a man had two debtors and he forgave them both of their debts, which one would love him the most? Simon says, well, I guess the one he forgave the most. And he said, you've judged right. He said, and her sins, which are many. Because the Bible said she was a sinner. And the thing was, the other men there knew she was. And he said, your sins, which are many, are all forgiven you. Then he says to her, your faith has saved you. Now, God works on both ends. He's got arrangements being made over here to go down here to this dinner. And he's not going down there really to be a guest of Simon. He's going down there because he's got to meet this woman and she needs to be saved. At the same time, God's working on the other end, and he's got this woman feeling this urge, this call to come over here and intrude on a dinner that she wasn't invited to. So she was coming to crash their party. But she was being something moving on her that she had to go there. And then as she stands back there and she sees Jesus, he's unwelcome and no one having anything to do with him, why, it begins to really pull on her heart. And there's something about this one that's different than any other man she'd ever met. And so she sees that his feet need washed. So see, there's something in her that draws her to do something that would not be natural to do. It wouldn't naturally wash his feet with tears and dry them with your hair. That wasn't the natural way of doing it. They would have a basin of water and they would wash their feet and they would have a towel to dry the feet and all these things. But she didn't have that, but she used what she had. And imagine her being down at Jesus' feet, and why was she crying anyway? Because she was in the presence of Almighty God. And all of her sin were upon her. And she was in a lost condition. But God had worked to arrange arranged this whole thing just so he could save that woman. Now, this ended up having no effect on Simon whatsoever. But he wasn't sent there for Simon. He didn't go there for Simon. He went there for that woman. And it didn't matter what she had been, what her life was, and what she had did. It didn't matter. I'm going to tell you something. When God calls you, it don't matter what you've done, where you've been, what all you've been through. It doesn't matter. When he calls you, he's calling you because he chose you. So we started out by reading. He must needs go through Samaria. And I always like that passage of scripture because it showed Jesus was saying, I have to go down here. I need to go down there. They couldn't just pass on by the place. They had to go down there. And Jesus had to go there, and his disciples went off, I believe it was, to go buy some meat and so forth. But Jesus walks on over to the well, and it happened to be the well that Jacob had dug in the land where Jacob had gave to Joseph. And here at this well, it was not the morning time. It was more the evening time. And here come a woman up there. She couldn't come when the other damsels came because she was an ill-famed woman. And so she came at a different time, and she comes up there, and Jesus, seeing her coming, asked her for a drink, and she says, it's not customary for you Jews to ask anything or have anything to do with us Samaritans. See, Samaritan was half Jew and half Gentile. And so by most Jews, they were looked down upon. And she said, it's not custom, Mary, for you to have anything to do with us. And Jesus said, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink. And she said, you don't have anything to draw with. And the well is deep. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who dug this well and watered all of his cattle and sheep here? And he said, this water, any man drinks of it, they'll thirst again. But the water I give, you drink of, you'll never thirst again. Hallelujah. You won't be out there searching for that, to fill that void anymore. Because why? It'll be filled with the right thing. God put that inside man to long after him. But man tries to fill it with all the things of the world. But that wasn't how God ordained it. God ordained it that it would be to long after him, to thirst after righteousness. He said, if I give you a drink, you'll never thirst again. He tells her, says, she said, I would like to have some of this water where you drink of and never thirst again. So he's going to give it to her now. But this is how he goes about it. He says, go get your husband. See, he discerned what the problem was with the woman. And he said, go get your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you've spoken well for that you have no husband, for you've had five husbands. And the man you're with now is not your husband. And she said, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. He said, see, what a difference that was from the priest down at the temple. The priest had a little light, you know. They had a little light. But then when Jesus performed miracles and cast out devils, they said that he'd done it by the prince of devils, by Beelzebub. And when they did, then what little bit of light they had went out. But this woman had representation. Where was her representation at? In the mind of Almighty God. She was one of God's thoughts. She was in his mind before the world was ever formed. He had this woman in his mind. And it just came her season to be called. Now, you wonder, why didn't God call her before she got her life in such a mess and a wreck? Maybe she had to get in that wreck before she'd ever look to God. But her season and time came. She said, our fathers worship in this mountain. Said, but the Jews say to worship down in Jerusalem. He said, there's coming a time and now is. Really never, neither worship in Jerusalem nor in this mountain, but you'll worship him in spirit and in truth. She said, sir, we know that when the Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things. And she said, and he said to her, he said, I am he that speaketh to you. Friends, there was not a doubt in her mind. She dropped her water pots. She ran back into the city. You know, about this time the disciples showed up and didn't know what was going on. But she ran into the city and told the men of the city, come see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. See if this is not the Messiah. She was a believer. Now, God does his own choosing. And we would think that God would choose people by their merits. Choose good people, you know. Choose people who don't live bad lives. But that didn't have anything to do with it. The life you live or don't live or whatever has not a thing to do with your choosing. God chose you because you belong to him. But see, you bypassed, Brother Brim said, your theophany, and you came down here into this time, this region of time, and you've come into this body of time. And you are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And there are things that we get involved in, things we do. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter who you're born to naturally. You could be born, Brother Bram said, you could be born to the two of the wickedest people in the city. But they don't have a thing to do with God's calling. You could be born to two of the best people. That don't mean that you don't have to get saved. Everybody's got to get saved. Everybody needs salvation. I have need to go by Samaria. One time Paul had need to go by Thyatira. Paul went down there. Him and Silas, and they preached. And there was a woman there that heard their preaching. And she heard them, and she believed. And she believed on the words that Paul spoke. And then she pressed upon Paul and Silas to come to her house. This woman was named Lydia. The Bible says she was a seller of purple. And so she believed. Paul had to go there because there was this one soul that needed to hear. Notice, there was multitudes gathered around Jesus. But when we look at the calling of his disciples and that, it was calling here and there, here and there, here and there. It wasn't calling by multitudes. And when we look through the book of Acts, we see them calling and we see a few coming here and a few coming there and a few coming here. Here was this one woman, Lydia. And after they had abode with her for a day, then they left from there. And there was the Bible said, a certain damsel with the spirit of divination. She's a soothsayer. Come, and she kept saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew us the way of salvation. And just kept following Paul and Silas around. And Paul let it go on for a while. Heard one preacher say he got some free advertisement. But after a while, began to trouble Paul. He turns around and casts the spirit out of her. And the Bible said the spirit came out of her immediately when Paul told it to depart. And so this got him in trouble, because the men who had this woman to work for them, they made a lot of money off of her. And so now their money-making machine was gone. And so they came and laid hands on Paul and Silas and said, these men trouble us. And they speak unto us customs that's not familiar to us being Romans. And the magistrate ordered their clothes to be stripped off. And then ordered them to be beat. And it said after they laid many stripes on them, then they took them to jail. And he threw them in jail and told the jailer, said, keep them fast, don't let them escape. And so the Bible says he took them to the innermost parts of the jail, and he put their feet in stocks and chained up their hands into shackles to hold them fast. What a situation they were in. You know, if I was in that situation tonight, probably my first thought as a human would be, what in the world am I doing here? They had been doing nothing but good, and now they received evil treatment. But there was a jailer down there. And that jailer needed saved. He was a believer. He was a redeemable thought of God. And he needed somebody to bring the word of Jesus Christ to him. Now, he was a jailer, so he couldn't leave there. It wasn't like today where they've got shifts they pull and so on and all this. According to the script, he was the head guy. And so then you wonder, well, why couldn't they just been thrown in prison? Why did they have to get beat? So that jailer would put them in an impossible situation for them to get out of. See, there had to be something happen that was going to shake that jailer. And here they were in their beaten, bruised up state, and the Bible says they began to sing. And as they began to sing, the earth began to shake. And the prison began to shake. and the stocks broke off and the shackles fell off and the doors burst open. And the jailer feared, for he thought all the prisoners are going to escape. And Paul says, do yourself no harm, we're all still here. We wasn't trying to escape. Think about it. They wasn't trying to escape. Somewhere, Paul and Silas must have realized, we're not brought down here so we can escape. We're brought down here because God has a purpose for us to be here. He said, don't do yourself any harm. We're still all here. And he lights a light, then the Bible says, and after he lights a light, he comes down there and throws himself down on his knees before Paul and Silas. He said, what must I do to be saved? You know, what must I do to be saved? In other words, I want what you've got. Whatever made you sing in the middle of the night, singing praises to God in the condition you were in, whatever it is you got, I want some of it. It's like Jack Cole gives a testimony about when his mom got saved, said she ran down to the altar and said, I want what Jack's got. The Bible says, they said, be baptized, and thou and thy whole household will be saved. Now, read the scriptures real careful there. It says the jailer took them to his house. And the Bible says they spake the word to the jailer and to his household. So all of them heard the word of the Lord. It wasn't just the jailer heard the word and got saved, so it saved his whole house. They all got to hear the word of the Lord. And every one of them got baptized. And so him and his whole household was saved. So he didn't just have a jailer needed saved. The jailer's whole family needed saving. But the way to reach the family was through the jail. You don't know where God might take you. But somewhere out there is that last one. And we don't know where they're at and where God's got to take us to get to them. We don't know who it may be. And I've often said, Brother Branham makes a statement like there's going to be the very last one. But I've often said there's going to be a last one that you come across. It'll be the last one that you get to witness to. It'll be the last one that comes in because of you. There'll be a last one that comes in Dixon. There'll be a last one that comes in Ohio. There'll be a last one that comes in over in North Carolina. There'll be a last one that comes in around the world over in the Philippines. I'm not worried about who gets who, where the very last one's at. He's going to be God, he or she. But let's find the last one around here. And you know, it ain't just them coming in. It ain't just them getting delivered. It isn't this just somebody getting saved. They've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So that last one's got to get filled with the Holy Ghost before we leave out of here. Because only those that got the Holy Ghost are leaving here in the rapture. Just read today, Brother Branham said, talking about those 10 virgins, he said they were all virtuous. They were pure. But the ones had oil, they went in the rapture. They had the Holy Ghost. The ones that didn't have the oil, they said, give some of your oil. And they said, not so, lest we not have enough. You got to go get it from them that sell it. Brother Branham said while they went to go pray up to receive the Holy Ghost, the rapture takes place. And then he said, but they're the remnant. So they're still saved. But they've got to go through the tribulation period. And they won't be there for the millennium. They won't come up until the second resurrection. The resurrection when all the dead raise. So the last one's got to get the Holy Ghost to go in the rapture. Ram says the elect of God was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now, Abraham's seed. How are we Abraham's seed? It's not by natural birth, but it's by spiritual birth. It's through faith we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And Brother Bram said, that brings us in to be Abraham's seed. God called Abraham. It wasn't because Abraham was a better man. It wasn't because Abraham was anything special. Abraham come from idol worshipers. But God called him. God chose him. Because he had elected him. Not because Abraham wanted it. Not because that Abraham did this or that, or that he did some way merit being called. It was God's choice. And you realize it shows God's choice because we see the faith that Abraham had. Abraham had faith that when God told him to leave the country, the Chaldeans, where he was, that he went forth. The Bible said, not knowing where he was going. God didn't tell him that you go down to a certain point. He just said, leave. And he had to go forth. And the Bible said, not knowing where he went. But he was searching for a city whose builder and maker was God. Looking for a city. Our names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. God didn't just put your name on there the other day. Your name was always on there. If you got eternal life, then you were always in God's thoughts. Because if anything's eternal, it didn't have a beginning. And so you didn't have a beginning. You were always in God's thoughts. The Bible says, no man can come to me, Jesus said, except the Father draw him. And he says, all the Father's given me will come. If God calls you, he knocks at your door, and then that's the time for you to come. Wonder why did not come earlier? You had to come into season God had ordained for you to come in. You see, God's got people of all sorts of testimonies. He's got people that come out of all different backgrounds of walks of life. Some got delivered out of religious walks of life. Some gets delivered from religious demons. Some gets delivered out of just stinking rotten demons. we all come from different walks of life, different backgrounds. God's got some that who are sitting here said, well, my mom and dad believed, but that ain't why you got called. You got called because you were one of God's thoughts. You see, that old thing about my parents deprived me is a lie of the devil. If I ever deprived my kids of anything, it was sin. Because I know what it is. I've been there. First-hand experience. I know what's down there, and I know the death that lies with it. I know the scars that lie with it. I know the torment that lies with it. I never wanted that for any of my kids. Seems like there's some, though, that's bound and determined to see what it all is. The lamb and the dove, Brother Bram said, thou hast redeemed us when we were unworthy, not worthy to be redeemed. And Father, we repent of all our sins, for we know since we've been redeemed, we have nothing by no means show our appreciation of you redeeming us from the place that we were headed for. But by thy amazing grace, thou hast brought us safe thus far. We believe you'll take us through because you chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we might become a peculiar people, a holy people, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. You're going to be different than everybody else. A peculiar people. Royal priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice, the fruits of our lips, giving praise to his name. It isn't, Brother Bram said, it isn't how much you try. It's what God done for you already. And he said, if you've got enough of God in you to come out here tonight and desire to hear the message, you ought to be the happiest person in the city. Because not everybody has that desire. Not everybody came out tonight. He said you ought to be the happiest person in the city because God's moving in your life. Because God's moving in your life. The woman at the well, what did he do? He redeemed her. He cleansed her life. He redeemed her because he lifted her up out of what he found her in. Brother Ram said there was a seed laying there, a predestinated seed that was in God's thought before the foundation of the world. There was a predestinated seed there. You must go by Samaria. I'll tell you what, this week he came by Dixon. He had a need to come by Dixon this week. Amen. And you know what? He started on, many of y'all don't know, and I'm not going to give away any testimony, but he started on Friday and carried right on through until on into this week. God calling. God setting people free. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We've feasted on your word. It's been encouraging, dear Lord, these what you laid in our heart for tonight. Lord, there was those, Lord, tonight that needed that encouragement, Lord. You knew each one, Lord. Lord Jesus, you came by our way tonight. Lord, thank you for it. Thank you for the refreshing that you've brought upon us, Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless your people tonight, Lord. As they go forth, may that these words still ring in their ears, Lord. You chose them. It wasn't because of anything good we done, and it didn't matter how much bad we done. You chose us. You called us. The Father drawled us. And we've come. Lord, I pray, God, may you strengthen your people. I pray, dear God, that you'll baptize those with the Holy Ghost, dear God. Have your way, we ask, God. Lord, I ask a special prayer for my loved ones in the church down in West Virginia, Lord. They've had a real faithful brother pass away last night. Lord, it's so hurtful for a church when anyone passes away. Lord, for the wife and the family of this man, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will be with them and give them comfort, Lord. Lord Jesus, I ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ever give you the praise. Amen.